Grace and mercy and peace be to you all from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear these words once again from today's gospel reading. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Jesus then goes on to tell two parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. These are our texts. I want you to try to understand the events of this text from my point of view. It all began when I just started, sort of wandered away without making any kind of decision to do so. It was all gradual as I strayed a few steps from the rest of the flock, munching on grass here and noticing a bit of juicy grass over there. At first, I noticed that the others were congregating together a ways from me, but I knew that I had really not separated myself from them. I could always go back to them. The Good Shepherd didn't need to worry about me. I could handle it. Then I got further occupied with myself and my thoughts and my pleasures and my priorities, my plans and my purposes. Of course, that takes time and concentration and effort. Time away from where I had once been with all those other sheep and with the Good Shepherd. Though at that time I hardly thought him to be good. Actually, the longer I stayed away and the farther I strayed, the more he seemed to be a master and rule maker and Mr. Fun Spoiler. Anyway, my activities and pursuits also took my concentration away from what I had once been hearing from the big boss man and what the other sheep heard and believed and did. It also took effort. I worked at being a sheep with my own agenda. Long hours were spent working my way from one field to another, over the hills and through the valleys. And while I could no longer see the congregation from where I was, I knew the general direction, and I was convinced that I could find my way back anytime I wanted. Then came the day of trouble. As you know, such a day comes for all sheep, and in that I'm no exception. For a sheep, it could have been an attack by a predator, walking about seeking someone to devour, the vicious beast that stalks in secret, or the wolf that in sheep's clothing who casually walks up and traps you. It might have been a sheep's disease, an inherited physical condition that results in a slow deterioration with many hurts and pains and suffering. Departure from this world. Or it may be an unannounced sudden death. As you might imagine, it can be quite scary. There's also the mad sheep's disease, a mental or emotional state that immobilizes the thought processes and snaps the soul of hope and peace. Anyway, as I said, my day of trouble came. And along with it came pain and sorrow and anguish and fear that I had never knew existed. And I was easy prey for anyone, and I was about to be devoured. Oh, I remembered the congregation and the shepherd, but I had no idea where they were, no knowledge of where I might go if needed. I could move from my spot in the valley of the shadow of death. I was lost, absolutely lost. All I could do was bleat like a lost sheep. My only hope was to be found. But think about it. Why would anyone want to find me? Why would anyone look for me? Who would go out and sacrifice the time and the effort to make a search for a lost sheep who carelessly, thoughtlessly, and purposely wandered away? And who would care enough for me to seek me in this land of thorns and thistles? In my state of mind at the time, I could only think of one who could find me, the one I used to know as the Good Shepherd, but why would he seek me? I thought there could only be one reason: vengeance, to spy me out, to find me and make me pay for what I had done. He would really let me know what my day of trouble was all about. So when I saw him come over the rise and into the same valley of death that I was in, I was filled with a horrid fear once again. I sought to hide from him, as did that first sheep, the one named Adam, who covered his shame with an apron of leaves and hid in paradise when they heard the footsteps approaching him. But the master knew where to look, and there was no hiding from him. He found me, walked to me, bent way down to me, and to my amazement, he said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." He had not come to me as a rule maker, but as the law fulfiller. This was the Good Shepherd who came in grace and truth to bind up the brokenhearted and to grant release to those held captive. His nail-pierced hands lifted me up from a certain death and hoisted me up high in the air. It was like a resurrection when he shouldered me. He rejoiced and set off to return me to the others in the flock. He bore me up, and in doing so, he carried all my burdens as well, just as one might shoulder the burden of a cross. I understood that I had been restored to him, and he rejoiced at that restoration. But there was more. As I rode on this big man's broad shoulders, it was, I'll admit, more than a bit scary. He was tall, and it was a long way down to the ground. If he had dropped me, I would most certainly have died, being dashed on the jagged rocks below. However, his deep voice continued to assure me. "My sheep hear my voice," he said, "and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I must tell you, it was a breathtaking ride. I was also scared because I wondered what the other sheep would think of me, what they might say to me, how they would treat me, whether or not I would be accepted into the flock once more. As we drew near the congregating flock, they all turned to us, their eyes focusing on me and the Good Shepherd who was carrying me back home. And the Master spoke to his congregation. He said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And to my further amazement, they rejoiced at my return, with the voices of angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven joined in joyful, joyful song. Dear people of God, Jesus declares, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now that may indeed be an account of your life with God. and that you are here in his church once more after having been shouldered by the Lord, who with joy, rejoicing of his own and that of the congregation, restores the lost to himself in his church. And if so, it should be move you to give hearty thanks, humble thanks to God for his undeserved grace. It should also give you hope that those other family members of yours who have wandered away from the Lord still have time to repent, believe, and be restored to the Lord and his church. That's the oft-repeated story of lost and found in the world. That's also the first part of this sermon. But perhaps you are one of those blessed people who have never wandered away from the Lord God and his church. It might be that this church building, or one very much like it, has always been the house of God where you have been raised in the faith. Have you always been here in the house? If so, then perhaps yours is the story of lost and found in the church. Jesus tells of a loss that occurred not out in the wilderness of the world, but a loss in a house. A woman has 10 valuable coins, each one quite precious to her. However, in the shades and shadows of the house, one coin is lost. A member of the whole group has become lost in the house. Though still in the church, one member is lost. In order to find the precious lost, the woman lights a lamp. And the lamp, the light from the lamp, just like the light from the Word of God, is needed in order to find the lost one. The light of God's Word works in two ways. First, to expose the sinner and the sin. We call that the second use of the law, to serve as a mirror, to show us our sins, to convict us, and to convince the lost one in the church that he or she is a sinner, has been separated from the one holy Christian church, and left in that condition would be lost forever. The other way that the lamp of God's word works is as a gracious purging, a cleansing that removes our sin from us as far as the east from the west. And that's the good news that our Lord God wants everyone to hear in the world and everyone to hear again and again in his church. Even though you may have been a faithful church member all your life, you still need to hear this twofold message of God's word. Your sins condemn you. You hear the message that you have become lost by your own disobedience and self-centered living, and you know it's true. But you hear the cleansing and forgiving message of the gospel, that you have been found by a Savior who has suffered and died for those very sins that separated you from God. Yes, the woman, in the midst of her search in the house, she found the lost coin. And as a result, she calls her friends and her neighbors to congregate together in her house. And when they do, she invites them to join her in a day of gladness. She says, "Rejoice with me because I have found the coin I had lost." And following his telling of this story, Jesus declares, "In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Our Lord's actions and practice were completely consistent with the truth that he taught and the confession that he declared. And in so doing, tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And Jesus did not turn them away. While they rejoiced at being at the table with the Lord God, the legalists who had the word in their possession and who were leaders of the church of that day grumbled. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And you know what, dear people? The Pharisees and scribes were right. They were absolutely correct in what they declared. This Jesus receives us sinners and eats with us.